I'm going to get out of the seat. This is just kind of an outline of what we're going to talk about tonight. I don't know if we're going to cover everything. We're kind of a little bit pressed for time. I'm not used to giving a class right before Mincha Maariv. I know that's an extra squeeze, but the truth is that I have no choice, because part of Bitachon is davening. Part of the way we express our Bitachon Hashem is by davening. Bitachon Hashem is it could be a thought, it could be an emotion, it can be something which we meditate about, but the way we would express it is one of the primary ways to express it is through davening. So I deliberately made this little outline kind of cryptic, because if I make it really, really like laid out, then everyone just gets to read the outline, they don't have to listen to the speaker. So this is just some of the points that hopefully we'll touch on, not necessarily in the order. The topic tonight is Bitachon and Hishtalus. In English, Bitachon we call trust, and Hishtalus is some kind of human effort, human beings taking responsibility for making things happen. And how that relates to, in the financial world, in the insurance industry, planning for the future, whether it's retirement planning, financial planning for retirement, for college, having funds for college, sending kids to college, if you're starting off because they're young, you want to save money for college, whether it's saving money for retirement, using financial instruments in order to achieve that goal, or whether it's simply life insurance, which is, God forbid, if something would happen, the person wouldn't be around in order to provide for the family in a time of need. So how does that relate to Bitachon, relate to trust in Hashem? On the one hand, if we say very simply, perhaps we should say that we should trust in Hashem, and we trust in Hashem that whatever happens, Hashem will take care. In fact, in davening, I figured maybe we'll use it as a springboard. People are familiar with davening, we can talk about how the davening, the interplay between some of the passages in the tefillah that we relate to in daily and weekly, and how that, and to be tough. And so there's a line, for example, in the davening yesterday, this morning, page 386, Tehillim, Paraglam, and Gimel, Psalms, chapter 33, it says in the end of that chapter, Hine, in Hashem al Yireo, Ramiachali Machasto. The eye of Hashem is Hashem's eye is on those who fear him, those who long for his chesed, those who long for the kindness of Hashem. Rahatmi Marmas Nafsham, to save them from death. Rahayos Amarav, to give them life in a time of famine. Nasenu Chikstal Hashem, Nasenu Maginenu, our souls long for Hashem, he's our help, he's our shield. In him we will rejoice, in his holy name we will have trust. So clearly we're talking about Bitachon, and the way Bitachon is described by David HaMelech, King David, is Hashem saves one from death and gives them life in famine. So simply put, perhaps we could say that, look, if someone has real Bitachon and trust in Hashem, then why would they worry about famine? Why would they worry about a dark day, about if God forbid they wouldn't be around and they would have a young children of six, seven children and a wife? Okay, it could happen, maybe 1%, 2% of the population may have that. Perhaps we should just say, Hashem saves us from life, from death, whether we're in a dangerous situation, Hashem will save us. Hashem will give us chiyus, Hashem will give us life in a time of famine, whether we're starving, Hashem will provide. So, and that's, see, the same question of Atachon, that's the double, because we trust in Hashem's holy name. So, maybe it's a lack of Atachon. And really, this question was phrased for Moshe Feinstein in 1964. The title is presented to Ramosha about is it a lack of Bitachon? Does it demonstrate a lack of trust in Hashem for a person to buy insurance instruments? That was how the question was phrased. And really, it's in a very pure way, I think it's, if you look at through davening, many places in davening we talk about Bitachon relying on Hashem, and so if we're going to rely on Hashem no matter what the situation, then the purest way of relying on Hashem is not to worry about those things happening. Perhaps. Okay, so I just want to talk about, I guess I broke this into two parts because it's a very broad topic about Bitachon and Trust in Hashem, and we're going to try to touch on this insurance issue in a specific way. But I guess first, before we get into the specifics of insurance, I want to talk about Bitachon and Hishtalus in general. What does it mean? What does it mean for one to have Trust in Hashem, and how and what are there perhaps different levels of bitachon? Before we talk about the requirement, are there different levels for different people? Or, you know, it's definitely not a simple thing. There's a famous work from Abeinu Bachya, the 13th century scholar, also known as Abeinu Bachai. He wrote a book called Chovot HaLevavot, the Duties of the Heart. And it's translated into English, Duties of the Heart. Now, he has several chapters about bitachon, so it's clearly not a simple thing. We can finish in 30 minutes or 45 minutes, but we'll talk about some of the broad strokes. Now, Chovot HaLevavot mentions, when we talk about bitachon and trust in Hashem, it's not limited to parnasa, to making a living, to finances. Bitachon is in every area of a person's life. Bitachon is in health. Having trust in Hashem, that Hashem will provide for us, and whether we're diabetic or whether we have health issues, young, old, no matter what, health. It relates to interpersonal relationships and how we'll succeed in our relationships with our own families, our own spouses, our own children, our own co-workers. We have to have bitachon Hashem that we can manage those situations and that we'll be able to succeed in those areas. We have to have bitachon Hashem in that Hashem will give us the blessings that are right for us. And Moshe Feinstein is a fascinating thing, which he just writes like as an aside in a tshuva in a totally different context. You know, Moshe has several tshuvas about birth control. So in one of the tshuvas about birth control, he mentions that a person shouldn't feel, if they don't have children, that Hashem is giving them a curse. The person doesn't have children, it's just a mania of a bracha. It's just that Hashem has held back the bracha. And sometimes people, you could have a couple that's dealing with infertility and years and years and years and they don't have children. They have everything else in the world. They have all the money in the world. They could buy anything. They can't buy a child. And they think that maybe Hashem is cursing them. So Moshe says, no, it's not a curse. It's a mania of a bracha. It's a prevention of a bracha. But really for a person to believe that, in that situation, that it's just a mania of a bracha, takes a tremendous amount of bitachon. For a person to really have that reliance on Hashem, that trust in Hashem, that's what Hashem wants best for me. Hashem wants best for me that I shouldn't have children. And everyone else in the community is, and everything else in the world, that takes a tremendous amount of bitachon to live with that and to come to grips with that. And it has nothing to do with finances, nothing to do with parnasa. So really the idea of bitachon is a very broad thing. And the Chovot HaLevavot treats it in such a way as a very broad topic. We're going to talk about it particularly in regards to money, but really the work of bitachon is very difficult precisely because it's so broad and it's so far reaching and it touches every part of our lives, young, old, rich, poor, no matter smart, stupid, whatever person's situation, they have to have bitachon Hashem in a complex world and with all the challenges they have that we have. So now, I wanted to start talking about bitachon, and I guess by presenting the question, is bitachon something which is for everybody, or are there levels of bitachon which are for tzaddikim, and levels of bitachon which are reserved for people of great piety? So one of the areas to touch on this is from an Abu Dhan. So I wanted to, and I was talking about the sitter, so let's go back to the sitter. The Abu Dhan makes a very interesting observation about the tefila of Ubalot Tzion. So Ubalot Tzion is in the morning prayers that we say every day. You know, on Shabbos we don't say in the morning, we stick it into Mincha because it's so important. We can't miss it. So he says, if you look at Ubalot Tzion, it's on page 154, 156. In the article sitter. So he says that Ubalot Tzion really parallels other parts of tefillah. He says, in a sense, Abu Dhan was from the early Rishonim. I'm sorry, he's from the 12th century, very early work. So he says that really, if you look carefully at Ubalot Tzion, it's kind of like a review of the previous parts of davening. So you have, he says it not just about Ubalot Tzion, he says it about Ashrei Lam Netzach and Ubalot Tzion. Actually, it's starting on page 150, and I'm going to say on page 152. So he says, in general, in davening, we have three main parts. We have the Sukkot Zimra, which is kind of the praise of Hashem preparing for the encounter of Hashem with Tzila. And we have the Shema of Yerchos Deha, so we have the Shema and the Bracha accompanying the Shema. Then we have the third stage of davening, which is the Shema Esrei. We actually stand up in front of the king, and we ask Hashem for our needs. So he says that when we finish those three sessions of Tefillah, we get to Ashrei on the Tefillah of Tzion, and it kind of reviews that. So Ashrei is a review of Sukkah Zimah, because Ashrei is one of the focal points of Sukkah Zimah, the Sukkah that praise Hashem. Ramaseyat is Yancha Hashem Yom Tara, the start of Ramaseyat. Hashem should answer you on a day of stress, on a day of pain, and that's a reference to Shemona Esrei. The Shemona Esrei is a tefillah of our essential ancestors in our times and provide for our needs. And so it's a little bit out of order, but it goes from Ashrei Sukkah Zimah to Shemona Esrei. And then he says the Vavot Tzion relates to the brachos of Kriyat Shema. So if you look carefully at the Vavot Tzion, the first section of the Vavot Tzion is Kedusha, and Kedusha of the Kedusha of the Malachim, the Sukkah of the Malachim, say that how the angels praise Hashem. And that's in the first bracha of Shema. So we talk about them, the angels praising Hashem. So that's kind of a review of that. And then in the section after the Kedusha part talks a lot about topics which are mentioned in Abba Rabba, in the second bracha before Shema. So the bracha of Abba Rabba is to ask Hashem to give us success in Torah and Abba and Yira and love Hashem and fear Hashem. And as we'll see, there's a reference in Abba Rabba to Bitachon as well. So for example, in Abba Rabba, this is just to create a framework, but in Abba Rabba it says if you're able to hold two places at once, so Abba Rabba is on page 88 and 89 and 90. So in Abba Rabba we say, for example, lighten up our eyes with your Torah. Make our hearts cling to your mitzvahs. Unify our hearts to love and fear your name. So enable us, we won't be embarrassed. Enable us to have Abba and Yira, to love and fear. So in the Valtzion we say, Huyitzafli Bein of the Torah. So Hashem should open our hearts with His Torah, or in His Torah, referring to Torah, to Talmud Torah, to study of Torah. The Yasin Bili Bein Abba Sov Yira. So we should place in our hearts his Abba and his Yira, love and fear of him. That's reviewing and the important piece of Abba Rabba that we ask Hashem to give us Abba, love and fear of him. Now, I'm getting to Bitachon, right? That's what we're talking about. I don't want to get sidetracked too much. So in Abba Rabba, there's a line that says, "Ki l'shem kadshecha hagadol ha'anorah batachnu negila minismucha b'yishu ashecha." For in your holy name, that's great and awesome, we had bitachon, we had trust, we will rejoice and we will be happy with your salvation. And that seems like it's a segue into the last part, Abiyenu, the Shalom Me'abba Kansasarit. In the end of the bracha of Abba Rabba, we ask Hashem, bring us in from all four corners of the earth. We want Mashiach to come, we want to bring glory to Hashem's name, we want the whole world to see the salvation of Hashem and see the Yichud, see the oneness of Hashem. That's relating to Shema. That's the dream of Shema Yisrael. Hashem's name will be one and be known to the entire world. That's relating more to Shema. So, but the point that we're focusing on here is the Bitachon aspect. And it says, in your holy name, a great and awesome name, we have Bitachon, we have trust, and then we will rejoice in your salvation. So it seems like the Bitachon, if we have Bitachon Hashem, that's a merit of some sort that's going to somehow propel us to Yeshua, to the salvation of Hashem. So it's a very lofty idea. So we're talking about Bitachon not just in terms of a livelihood, making a livelihood or dealing with our health. We're talking about Bitachon that Bitachon is going to bring us to Yeshua. The Bitachon is going to propel us to that. Now, in the parallel, which is, we go back to the end of the Baal Tzion, which according to Abu Dram is a parallel to the earlier parts of davening and to the bracha of Shema. So in the end of the Baal Tzion, we have three psukim really seeming to be repeatedly telling us about the greatness of one who has betachon, one who has trust in Hashem. So at the very end of the, over there of the Baal Tzion, on page 156, Baruch HaGever Asher Yitach B'Hashem. Blessed is the man who has trust in Hashem, Baha'i Hashem, Yitachon, and Hashem will be his assurance, his trust. One prospect, it's great to have trust in Hashem. Bitzchul Hashem, Adayar, trust in Hashem forever, Kimakar Hashem to Alamin, because in Hashem is the rock of the world. Another prospect. They will have, the ones who know your name, Hashem, will be talking to you, they'll be trusting you, because you don't forsake the people who seek you out, Hashem. Three psukim all talking about the greatness of the people who have the Bitachon Hashem. So it would seem that this parallels the aspect of bitachon which we mentioned in Avraham. In Avraham, we mentioned that bitachon is we say to Hashem, we have bitachon in you, and that's going to put us to Yeshua, to salvation. And here we say, it's great to have bitachon in Hashem. We talk about the greatness of having trust in Hashem. Only thing is, here it kind of ends dead. Hashem chafetz l'man tizkei out of the Torah of the Adya. Hashem wants for the righteousness of, for his righteousness, for the Jewish people's righteousness, the Torah should be great and powerful. But it doesn't talk about the Yeshua, the salvation, and then the in and gathering of the four corners of the earth, to the exiles. It just talks about, it kind of ends with bitachon and the greatness of Torah. So the Abu Ghraim says that it's not a contradiction, because there are two different pieces to the tefillah. The piece of Shema, like we said, is propelling us, the bitachon there is propelling us into Shema. We're talking about the salvation of Hashem, the gathering of exile. That's when Hashem, the oneness of Hashem will be known. The yichud of Hashem will be known to the entire world. That's what Shema is going to be talking about. The part at the end of davening of Baruch Tzion is a segue into the work day. At the end of the Baruch Tzion, we're getting ready to step out of the shul and go to work. In the work day, and whether it's work or whether it's dealing with all the challenges of life outside of the sheltered confines of the synagogue, we're going to have challenges. And we're going to have to rely on our bitachon. We're going to have to rely on Hashem and bring Hashem's watchful eye into our psyche. And that is why we're praising the one of the bitachon and Hashem. So here's the praise of the bitachon of the Baal Bateach, the one who has trust in Hashem, is not because we're talking about salvation. We're talking about day-to-day, daily grind, we need bitachon, and we're praising the one who has bitachon. So then it comes out that really, we see that there are definitely layers and different aspects to bitachon. There's bitachon in the day-to-day, is what we're talking about in the Baruch Tzion. And there's bitachon, which is something which is a very lofty, awesome idea, which will give us the Yeshua. That through that bitachon, through that trust in Hashem, we're going to have, we're going to rejoice in the salvation of Hashem. So, that's the question, what are these two levels? How do we define these two levels of bitachon, the one that's the day-to-day, and the one that's going to bring us to Yeshua? So I wanted to bring it up also, bring out the point from another place in davening. But, yeah. What do you mean? Right, so we're talking about financial planning. We're giving an introduction, that's going to be the second half of the talk. First we're talking about trust in Hashem and in a general sense, and then once we can define trust in Hashem in a general sense, then we'll be able to narrow it down and hone in on how to apply that to financial planning and insurance. Okay. Fine. So the next part where we want to talk about how bitachon relates to us in our lives is, and on different layers of bitachon, is in the Shemona Esrei. Okay, in Shemona Esrei, we have a bracha called Tzadikim. Difficult bracha on page 106. Okay? The bracha of Tzadikim is talking about righteous people. So it says that we mention Tzadikim, righteous people, and we mention the elders of Jewish people, and the converts, and Aleinu, and ourselves. We ask Hashem to have rachamim, to have mercy on all of us. And then we say, the same stuff in the middle of the bracha, the same stuff our Torah b'chol books in the Shimcha Be'emes. And give proper reward, we ask Hashem to give proper reward to people who really have bitachon. Be'emes, who truly have bitachon. Shimcha Keinim, I am the Olam, and put our place, our portion with them forever. So enable us, we won't be embarrassed to have bitachon because we have bitachon on you. And the bracha ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Nishanu Mitzvah Klav Tzadikim. Hashem is the mainstay and assurance of the righteous. So, it would seem like less bitachon is for righteous people. I mean, we're describing the righteous people as having bitachon. And we don't say that we piggyback on their bitachon. We say Hashem give reward to them because they have real bitachon in you. Our bitachon, I don't know if we can really have it, but we want to piggyback on that bitachon. And then and we emphasize that that's their characteristic. Mishnah Mitzvah Chad Tzadikim. Hashem is there is the namesake of the Tzadikim. Now, and this would seem to me that this relates to the aspect of the Bitachon of Yeshua, salvation, like we mentioned in the Bracha of Shema. Because in Havineinu, which is the Bracha of Tzara, and in the Gemara and Brachas talks about a situation where a person doesn't have time or is not able to say the 18 brachas of Shema, so there's a bracha, there's a bridge version of because right of Shema Atzeh, and it's called Havineinu. So in Havineinu there are these phrases that are paralleling each of the 18 sections, and it's just a one phrase. So in Havineinu it says Yismuchu Tzadikim the Binyan Ircha, the Tzadikim will rejoice in the building of your city, referring to Yerushalayim. And that's referring to these two brachas, the bracha of Tzadikim, Ala Tzadikim, and the next bracha, which is Bili Rishalayim. And the first we have this bracha about Tzadikim and rewarding them for their bitachon, and then we say Bili Rishalayim Yerucha Brachon in Tashuv, bring come back to Rishalayim. So that means that the bracha of Tzadikim is not an isolated bracha that we're asking them to focus in on their bitachon and give them reward. It's a bracha in context of bringing back the Shekhinah to Rishalayim, that the Shekhinah is going to come to Rishalayim through the merit of the Tzadikim. We need a tzaddikim. We need their pride to be restored, because that's going to be part of the gula. That's going to be part of the redemption. Like we said, if we have real betachon in Hashem, we'll have the salvation coming. So here it says, we say, Hashem reward the tzaddikim and their betachon, and then come back and bring back Yerushalayim. And that's also why there's a buff, because in the bracha of Yerushalayim, most of the brachas in Shemona Esrei don't start with a vav. They're independent brachas. It's Kavish of Bargadol, Shira of Teinu, or Feinu. They don't start with a vav. When it comes to Yerushalayim, it's the end to Yerushalayim, the vav hachibur, the vav which connects to the aforementioned. So which means that we're saying Al Tzadikim is connected to Yerushalayim Mircha, because we need the Tzadikim, that's going to be a bridge to the return of Yerushalayim. So clearly from this bracha we see once again that B'tachon is, we're not talking about B'tachon in ordinary terms. We're talking about B'tachon for both in the Shimcha, the Emes, people who have true B'tachon. So which leads us to believe that there are layers of B'tachon. And you know, when we talk about financial planning and insurance, it could be that it depends on the person. You know, maybe if we're talking about someone who is a big tzaddik, or like the bracha of a tzaddikim, maybe they don't need to have any type of effort, maybe they shouldn't be having those efforts. They shouldn't be doing financial planning. They shouldn't be doing any form of insurance, because they are the tzaddikim. That's what personifies their tzedkus, their righteousness. They're great bitachon. They're reliant on Hashem, and it's in their bones that they know Hashem provides for them and everything, and they don't have to worry about it. Maybe regular people, or not tzaddikim. For them, there would be no theory, there would be no contradiction. And for them, it would be the proper thing to have to use all these types of instruments in order to ensure their well-being. Okay? So I saw a very interesting thing, and I was very happy to see this, that from the Torah Tumimah, along these lines. The Torah Tumimah was a person who lived in the last 100 years. He wrote a paper in 1940. He was the son of the Aruch HaShulchan, famous Aruch HaShulchan, wrote a halacha paper. The Torah Tumimah wrote several psalms. The one that he's famous for is actually called Torah Tumimah. It's on the Chamish Chumshe, the five books of the Torah. But he also wrote a book on Tefillah, and he also wrote on Pirkei Avot, several different things. He is a broad-minded person on all aspects of Torah. So he wrote his paper on Tefillah called Bar Sha'amar. That's the title of the bracha on the Tefillah. So he has this comment on one of the verses from the Tefillah that we mentioned before. In the end of the Baruch Tzion, if we go back to that, the pasuk said one of the psukim we mentioned on page 156 is Baruch HaGever Asher Yitzchak B'Hashem. Blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem. Vayah Hashem Yitzchako. So the article translates as follows: Blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem, then Hashem will be his security. So from such a translation, it seems like it's talking about the same person. A person trusts in Hashem, and then the result of that is that Hashem will be his security. It's kind of redundant, because the person trusts in Hashem, that means he's assuming Hashem is his security, right? It's like, that's the definition of someone who's b'teach Hashem. So, there's a man who trusts in Hashem, and Hashem will be his security. So he says that it's actually talking about two different people. There's the first person is Yitzchak Bar Hashem, and then there's the second person that Hashem is Mitzchako. Hashem is his security. He says that there are those people. We come to Bitachon Hashem through our responsibility. So we take responsibility to start a family. We take responsibility to start a business. We take responsibility. We put an initiative to whatever, all areas, financial planning, whatever we're going to do. And then we rely on Hashem. We use that as a springboard. From that, we jump to Bitachon Hashem, and we have to believe that we're not able to do it. We're not able to finish off with what we start. Any success we get, any completion of our efforts is going to come from Hashem's bracha, and Hashem is going to take care of us, and whatever the result is from Hashem's blessing, and that's our way of coming to Bitachon to Hashem. Whereas the tzaddik, that is the second part of the pasuk, Vayar Hashem Mitzachko, is referring to the tzaddik, this person who's on this awesome level, that he doesn't even use teva, doesn't even use natural means to provide for himself. He relies on supernatural. He relies on Hashem. Hashem is going to provide him. And this is like a madrega of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we know, he went into the cave and he was there for years and years, and he didn't do any of that. No involvement in the world. No involvement. He wasn't planting vineyards or. But Hashem made a carob tree sprout right there for him. That is Hashem Yiftacho. That person, his betachon is straight from Hashem. Hashem is a mitzvah. He jumps to Bitachon through Hashem himself, as opposed to going through the natural world. The Tehillim says explicitly that the bracha of Al Tzadikim is referring to that second madriga. When we say the bracha of Tzadikim, and that's going to be part of the geula and the return of the Shekhinah Yerushalayim, we're asking Hashem to piggyback. We want to piggyback on those yichidim, those individuals. There may only be a handful of them in the entire world, perhaps. I mean, who knows? That they're having this super high level of bitachon, and those are the tzaddikim that are being described through their bitachon. He also explains the Rashi in Chumash about Yosef with this. Now Rashi says, and the Vayei says, that Yosef says to the butler, and he's in the jail with the butler, and he interprets the dream to the butler, and he gives the butler a great report. You know, you're going to go back to your position, you're going to start pouring wine, pyro, the butler's all excited. Yosef is a good salesman. He says, listen now, I did you a favor. Remember me and mention me to pyro, get me out of here. Kin is the kartani, itcha. So and Rashi says in the Medrash that because Yosef relied on the butler, and he asked twice, that they should remember him, then gave him 2 more years in prison. That's the next pasuk in Miketz. By him, Miketz Shnasayim Yomim Paro Kolim. 2 years later, Paro had a dream, and that was the beginning of Yosef getting out. So according to Medrash, Rashi says it, and we all say this over. Yosef being punished because he didn't have proper trust in Hashem. What kind of business is that? I mean, wasn't Yosef doing a proper ishtavus? You know, normal ishtavus, normal effort he does. When he's stuck in jail, this is a guy who's going to get him a good referral. Right, he's in business. He needs to get out there. He wants someone to put out a good name for him. He tells the butler, tell him I did you a favor. I'm good at doing this, and maybe I'll get business with him. I'll interpret whatever. He'll help me out. So isn't that a normal hishtalos? So says the Torah to Nima that for Yosef HaTzadik, who's one of the tzaddikim of the world, he's on a level of tzaddik that he shouldn't have relied on that. He should have relied straight on Hashem. Hayah Hashem Yitzchako, Hashem is going to take care of him. He's like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So, all this. Right. Since he said twice, therefore he got 2 years. Well, I thought my understanding of this was that it would be better if he would have mentioned 0 times. If he mentioned 0 times, then Hashem wouldn't have had to wait 2 years at all. He would, Hashem would have provided for him. Some of them down in there. It seems like it's twice is emphasizing the fact that he did something too wrong. Like both of them were wrong. He shouldn't have put himself out to the butler. He shouldn't have relied on the butler. And it's a difficult Rashi, because how do you understand that? I mean, that's a normal thing to do. When you're stuck in a situation, you do the normal Hishtalos, and then rely on Hashem to save you through that Hishtalos. So the Torah Tehillah says that's because in the Tzaddik, there's a different standard for the Yotzei HaTzaddik. So I'm just bringing more proofs to this, because I want to set up a platform here that to show that there are definitely at least two layers of Bitachon. And when we're talking about planning, we have to break it down between regular people and these tzaddikim of the world. Okay, so the last proof to this, actually the two more proofs, and then we'll go straight to the practical. Another proof to this is the Chovas HaLavas himself. Chovas HaLavas writes a fascinating thing. He says, in his discussion of Hishtadlus, about human effort, and he says, Hashem decreed on mankind that they have to do human effort, specifically in the area of Parnassa, of making a living. That's part of the curse of Adam Arishon. God cursed Adam, that he's going to have to sweat it out, by sweat of his brow, he's going to have to work the land. So he says, why is it that Hashem wanted this? Why does Hashem want us to work so hard for a living? So he says that there are two reasons. One reason is because he wants us to be able to bring spirituality into regular living and to withstand challenges. The only Bnei Sayon. To withstand challenges and do things according to the Torah, do things according to the mitzvahs. We all know that from our work, from our profession, that we are constantly being challenged doing things honestly and doing things according to what would be a way to the Mekadosh Hashem, thank the God's name in the world. That's one reason. Another reason why Hashem wants us to work is because it keeps us out of trouble. Because if we wouldn't be working, then we would have lots of free time, and people have lots of free time, and they end up doing destructive things. So Hashem wants us to be doing constructive things instead of destructive things, and that's why he keeps us busy with work. So it says, if you have a tzaddik who's on a level that he's going to be serving Hashem, he's withstanding the challenges of Hashem regardless. He doesn't need an involvement in the world to withstand the challenges of the Yitzhara. And he's going to stay out of trouble even if he's not working. He's learning Torah, he's doing other mitzvahs all the time. That type of person, he doesn't have to work. Because he accomplishes those two things without the work. So the Chovas HaLavas himself says this is for Yechid and it's for individuals and these huge tzaddikim. We have such a control over the Yetzirah. I don't know if we could say that about almost anybody nowadays. It's debatable. If you could say that people have such a control over the Yetzirah that if they wouldn't be, that they're going to be able to beat the Yetzirah no matter what. Okay, so we're running out of time, so let's get back to the practical, okay? How do we relate to the financial plan? So definitely, if we're talking about the tzaddikim of the world, like we set up this paradigm, the tzaddikim of Shmoneh Esrei, the tzaddikim of we're bringing the gula, they're not even working necessarily, they're not doing hishtablet, so for them it goes without saying, they don't have to buy insurance instruments or save for retirement, they're relying on Hashem, Hashem's going to provide for them no matter what. The question is for regular people who are doing regular hishtalos, they're doing the 99.9% of the world who have this the work and that's their means of connecting to Hashem. So is this a lack of bitachon? So the first one who dealt with the shaila was Rav Deutsch. I heard this on a tape from another friend. Rav friend gave his class about 25 years ago or something. So he mentioned this paper. I saw that. I never heard of this paper. And Rav Deutsch in 1907 said someone had a question about some kind of annuity. They wanted to, they had a business that was going well, and they wanted to save money, put aside money. They had a child, like a daughter that was born, and they wanted to put aside money into some kind of annuity or some kind of life insurance permanent product, which would build cash value and build money for later in order to marry off the girl 20 years down the road. They wanted to know, is that a lack of bitachon? And Rav Deutsch brought a proof from a Gemara in Kiddushin that we don't know what's going to be. We don't. He gave the rationale. We don't know if just because a person has the money now and his business is going well, who knows? The business can go sour. Who knows? He could lose that money 20 years down the road. He wants to be able to marry off his daughter 20 years down the road. So it's a wise thing, a proper thing for him to take that money which he has now and put it aside, put it into some kind of, whether it's conservative investment or annuity or aggressive investment, but at least he has the money. Which obviously he could lose that as well, but at least it's a logical way that I'll have that money available in 20 years. brought a raya from the Gemara Kedushin. Gemara says, forbidden for a person to marry off his daughter when she's a katana, when she's under 12 years old. Until she gets older, even though according to the Torah, Mido writes on a biblical level, a person can marry off his daughter when she's a katana, when she's young. So the Gemara says that the rabbi said a person shouldn't do it because maybe she's not going to be happy with this person that her father chooses. And then she grows up, she's 15, 20 years old, she's not going to like this guy who her father chose when she was six years old. So that's the Gemara says, Usher, it's forbidden, it's a rabbinic decree that they forbade it. Tosafot says on that Gemara, on the Ma'alas and the Kedushin, that Achshav, Anam Lagim Rekadesh Nothing Achilu Ketanot. Tosafot says now in this time, Tosafot is already in the 12th century, 12th, 11th century, we are custom is to marry off our daughters, even when they're Ketanot. That's because, Hanim Mishum, Shabachol Yom Yom, Han Golos Nisgad Aleinu. Every day the Golos is getting stronger. And Yesh Tipek Biyad Adam Achshav, Lachis Lebitah Nidunya, if a person has the ability now to make an Nidunya, to make a dowry for his daughter when she's a Ketanot, when she's 5 years old, 6 years old, maybe later, 15 years down the road, he's not going to have the money. And if his daughter doesn't have any dunya, doesn't have a dowry until the time, she may never get married. So better to set aside the money when she's a katana, and marry her off when she's a katana, and you got the deal closed. You got a chasan, and a 6-year-old girl, and she has the dunya. Right. Right. So the Chazal says, give a tithe so that you'll become wealthy. It's a play on words. If you give a tithe, you'll become wealthy. But I mean, we don't have statistics for that. We don't have proof for that. It would seem like. Okay. It says to Shetisasha become wealthy. It would be according to the strict meaning, you won't just get the money back, it was Shetisasha, you'll become wealthy. You get returned.
Okay. So you can use the financial planning tool.
Right. So that's interesting. You're right, I didn't think of that in terms of Sukkah. I think Sukkah is a separate class unto itself. But I think I'll off the cuff, I would think that the master has to be dealt with separately, because master, the type that you're talking about, is its own topic, because it's not clear. It's a popular thing that people throw around that it's the proper thing to give a type, but it's not clear in the sources that's actually a requirement. Many poskim say it's not required. There are requirements of tzedakah in terms of if someone comes to you and asks you for money, and you're required to give him something. You don't have to give him a tenth of what you made that day. You don't have to give him a tenth of your assets. You can give him something. There are shiurim how much to give. So the 10% is something which is a beautiful thing. And it even says if people are wealthy, they can give up the 20%. You know, there are different numbers thrown around, but it's not what? No, the mitzvah of tzedakah is a mitzvah. It's definitely a mitzvah. And there's more than one mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to give, there's a mitzvah not to ignore. But the shear, the amount is not necessarily a given. That is a requirement to give that percentage, to give. But that will come back to be talking on some level, because let's say a person is on a level where their budget is kind of tight, and then they're budgeting and they're figuring out how much if they give a ten, they may have to rely on some more for other things. Then it definitely will relate to be tough on, but that's I'm saying that has to be dealt with separately because that's a question of how much if there's any mitzvah to give that 10% or not. So I just wanted to, I mean, we have a few more minutes just to segue into Moshe Feinstein. Let's say you have a case. Now Tosafot says that who knows, maybe you won't have the money later, right? Because the galus is very strong. Who knows if there's coming persecution? People are stealing money from Jews. They're taking money from Jews. Who knows if you're going to have the money later? So let's say you have this situation where you're not so scared. You know, we don't have persecution. We don't have people stealing money from Jews so much. Not like it used to be, like, you know, in the times of Tosfos and the Crusades and times of other. So maybe one could argue that we don't have to worry about that. You know, and maybe it is lack of bitachon. Maybe we go back to the question. Maybe it would be better for a person not to buy instruments to plan for the future, or, you know, to put aside money for retirement in order to get for life insurance for their family. So Rav Moshe writes, Rav Moshe has an interesting shul about this. Rav Moshe says a much more direct, logical argument that it's part of any work a person does. That, like the Unkla says in the Torah, when it talks about Hashem is Anusim of a Koach Asas Chayel, Hashem gives a person the might to do Chayel, to do big things, powerful things. Unkla says it means that Hashem is Anusim Eitzel Miknei Nichnei. Hashem gives a person ideas. Hashem puts ideas into a person's head to buy properties, to buy this property at this time, this stock at this time. And Hashem plants the idea in their head, and because of those ideas, they can make lots of money or they can lose lots of money. It's ideas Hashem puts into their head. So Hashem, so Moshe says, one of those ideas that Hashem has put into our heads in our time, he writes this in 1964, because of the creation of all these different insurance tools, and even since 1964 there are even more, it's an ape of Nixon. It's another idea that a person has to acquire assets, to acquire products. You have an insurance product. It's part of your portfolio. It's part of your investment. It's part of your business. So it's like you have your bets and you want to make sure you get do the best you can to get the best return on your investment. And part of that hishtavlus, part of that effort in parnasa and working is to get those life insurance policies. And Moshe, the way we don't get this in this Moshe's tshuva, his response, so we don't see the full question. We see the answer that he's writing. When he writes the answer, he talks about whether it's building cash when you're young so that you'll have money when you're old, or whether it's having money to protect the family. And that will vary depending on the type of product. So if you can have, you know, term insurance products you can get when you're 30 years old, and even if you have a 30-year term, by the time you turn 60, so you won't get any money left. Then you're looking at insurance just as a protection for the family. But Moshe says about building money for your old age, that could be referring to a permanent policy. A policy which you get when you're 30 and it builds up cash and it provides money back when you're 60, 65, 70, 80, 90. You get money back and it's a retirement planning instrument and annuities and all these other things which are going to be ways of ensuring cash in one's old age. So according to Moshe, that's part of regular hishtavlus, and he says that's a proper thing. He says it's not a mitzvah, it's not a requirement to buy these insurances. But he says it's definitely not a stira. It doesn't contradict a level of bitachon for a regular person. You know, we're not talking about the tzaddik or the shem yachai and all those people. We're talking about regular people. Moshe says that would be a proper thing. So there's more to talk about. I think mitzvah's at 8:05, right? So I guess we'll have to cut it now, but maybe if, you know, we'll be happy to talk about it, anyone wants to share ideas afterwards.